The text comes from Matthew. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Let us pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Believe it or not, today we begin our preparations for the season of Advent. Our preparations for Christ's birth begin today. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians is only 5 chapters long, but it's a wonderfully practical letter full of good advice on how to live life now. The way that we perceive the future sculpts our present. It governs nearly every action and thought through every day. If our sense of the future is weak, then we live listlessly. The Christian faith is characterized by a strong sense of the future, with the belief in the second coming and the establishing of the kingdom of God here on the earth, the time when God will judge. He will judge us. He will judge the world. As Christians, we should live each moment in the present with hope and with expectation. However, such a belief can often be misconceived, with the result that we live in paralysis and fear. Paul's letter is written to prod us into looking forward, living a full life now, looking forward with joyful expectancy for what God will do next in Jesus Christ. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And then we have our reading from Matthew, the well-known parable of the talents. Here we see in the third servant the result of not looking forward, the result of being frightened, living in fear, paralyzed and unable to do what God asks of us. I don't know about you, but I have always found this parable to be difficult. It's a really unsettling story, and it's one that's capable of many interpretations. It has a very basic literary structure, a structure that reflects a traditional form of oral storytelling. A superior character has servants. He gives them gifts and or responsibilities and or directions before he goes on a journey. And when he returns, there will be an accounting. The servants will be evaluated on how they perform. God creates people and he gives us gifts. He gives us responsibilities. He gives us directions. After creation, God departs heavenwards while his people live on the earth. But at some point, God is going to return. He will do this at our time of dying, or through some historical event, or at the end of time. And then there will be a judgment. Have we acted in accordance with the will of our Creator? So far, so good. But our parable today develops in a different way than we might have expected. Usually, the master departs, and the first two get things completely wrong, while the third does everything right. And when it's told in this way, the overall story ends on a comedic note, with the last servant very much in the ascendancy. However, in this parable, it's the first two who get things right, and it's the third who does things wrong. And so it ends on a tragic note. Just what is this story all about? On the face of it, the parable of the talents is all about the manner in which God will judge this world and his people. It's a straightforward account of something that was quite common in the Middle East at the time of Jesus. A man who is about to set off on a long journey entrusts to his three servants different portions of his property. The servants are to look after what they are given. They must make sure that it is kept safe, but more than this, they must ensure that it continues to work and to make a profit for the master. Two of the servants double their investment, while the third gains absolutely nothing. In fact, he doesn't even try to make any gains. He buries his talent in the ground, all because he is afraid. What was given to him is taken from him, and then he is thrown into the outer darkness. Now, like me, you will have heard any number of sermons preached on this text. And sometimes the preacher will interpret it as a frank and simple exhortation to work hard at developing the gifts and the talents that God has given to us. In this case, the message is, if you aren't productive with what God has given, you're going to lose it. Use it or lose it. And this interpretation is perfectly valid, and it focuses on the gifts of God and how we choose to use them. Reading this story again, it strikes me that this interpretation misses one essential element. And it's an essential element of our Christian faith. Yes, God wants us to use all the gifts that he has given to us. Yes, he wants us to multiply them for the benefit of his kingdom. But it's not true that we will be judged solely on the quantity of the work that we do for God, or even the quality of that work. As St. Paul writes, it is by grace through faith that we are saved, not by works. If we reduce the parable of the talents simply to a matter of developing and using the gifts that God has given us and how productive we are for God, then we miss what is so good about the Christian life. We miss the good news of Jesus Christ, and we end up like the servant who failed to invest his talent. We will end up afraid, worried about how well we're going to do and whether or not it will please God. We will become paralyzed and we will be unable to move forward in our faith. The parable of the talents is not simply a lesson about ability or productivity. It's a lesson about our moral quality, about the faith and the attitude to life that we ought to have. Let's look at this servant who buried his talent. When asked by the master to give an account of what he has done with his talent, how does he reply? Master, I knew that you were a hard man and that you harvested where you had not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And then the master's judgment falls on his servant. And I would like to suggest that it falls on him not because he failed to produce wealth for his master, but because he was afraid to even try. You wicked, lazy servant. You knew what I was like, so you should have put my money in the bank so that I might have had back I might have had it back with interest. There is no sin in failure, but there is sin in not attempting to succeed, in not listening to God, in not striving to do his will. The third servant was afraid, so he didn't even try. And this is the basis on which he is judged. And this will be the basis on which we will all be judged by God. God holds us responsible for what he has given to us, and he expects us to try and work with it. The lesson of our gospel for today, our gospel reading for today, is that if we try, then God will honor our effort, even if we fail. God will not honor us, however, if we absolve ourselves of even trying. Because if we act like this, then we will be condemned. When we read this parable, we tend to dwell on whether we share our wealth with others, our food with others, and whether we use our talents for the good of others. I want you to think about something else in relation to this story. Think about all the problems that you have been given in this life. Things that have happened to you through no fault of your own. And like our talents, problems come unasked for. But they too need to be worked with. We cannot absolve ourselves from them. We cannot bury them to make them go away. We must deal with them. We must solve them, or we will become afraid and we will be unable to move forward in life. God watches to see what we do with these problems. Many of our problems we didn't deserve, but we are responsible for dealing with them, just as we are responsible for using the good things we have been given for the good of others. The judgment for not taking responsibility for our problems leads to more and more of them. In other words, we suffer more because we haven't even tried. Think of the people you know who have suffered. People who have had problems thrust on them, not of their own making. Many of these people live strong and happy lives. They've dealt with the problems face on, rather than burying them. They haven't blamed others for the situation that they find themselves in. I think of Simon Weston, who suffered 46-degree burns to his body and to his face when on the 9th of June 1982 the Sir Galahad was hit during the Falklands War. He had to undergo operation after operation after operation. He had to accept all of this and all of the ill health that went with it. Simon Weston no longer looks the same as he did. He has had to accept a new face. It would have been so easy for him to have given in to these problems. He almost did. But he faced everything. He buried nothing, and today he is a strong, happy individual, working hard, supporting many charities. You will all know someone who has faced their problems face on and who has become stronger and a better person because of it. Everything we avoid, everything we bury, everything that we refuse to deal with or take responsibility for, be it a gift, be it a problem, has its revenge on us. God gives us many, many things, and God allows many things to happen to us. Why he does this is not always clear, but what he expects from us is. He expects us to develop the good things so that the world around us can benefit. He also expects us to try to work with our problems so that we might become stronger and happier. And then we can help others who struggle with the same problems. God gives us talents. He also gives us his love. And he doesn't expect us to cope with life's problems on our own. He gives us companions. He gives us his church. He gives us the fellowship that we enjoy here. He also gives us his Holy Spirit. And he gives us his living word, Jesus Christ, the most perfect hero we can have to inspire us on our life's journey. God, like the master in today's parable, believes in each one of us. He trusts us to do well with his love, to develop the gifts that he has given to us. He trusts us because he made us. Have faith, and God will honor your endeavor. He will recognize all that you try to do for him. Don't fear failure, because even if we don't double the goodness in this world, even if we don't conquer all our problems or solve all the crises that we face, if we have tried to work with all that God has given to us, he will be pleased with us. And if we can do this, then when the time comes for our own judgment, we too will hear those wonderful words of invitation into God's kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Amen. Thanks be to God.